continue to pray and ask the Lord that He will speak unto our hearts this evening. Let's pray and ask the Lord that as His word comes, the grace to be obedient, the grace to go out and reach out unto the lost, the grace to abide in the presence of the Lord He will give unto us. We're asking that tonight, as the word of the Lord comes, the Spirit of the Lord Himself will breathe upon us where we have been struggling with His word. Let us pray that the Lord Himself will enable us to have the strength so to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name tonight. We thank you, Father, for the privilege you have given unto us to gather under your feet this evening, to be revived, to be strengthened, to be commissioned, and to be empowered for your task that is ahead of us. Father, we are asking that tonight, as we go into the pages of Scripture, you will open our eyes of understanding. You will give us the desire for your word, the desire, Father, to do your will and your way, so that as you prepare for your coming, we will not miss it, and the people you have committed into our care, we will not leave them also behind, in Jesus' name. Lord, speak to each and every one of us tonight. For in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. We are all welcome once again to our revival service tonight. And this evening we are considering the message, Gathering with Christ. Gathering with Christ. We want to open our Bibles to Psalm 50. I read from Psalm 50, verse 5. In Psalm 50, verse 5. It says here that in Psalm 50, verse 5, it says, Gather my sins together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Gather my sins together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Here we see the Lord. Sorry, I think someone was reading. I didn't catch that. A promise and a command of the Lord to gather His saints unto Him. Actually, it is important that as believers, first we are gathered unto the Lord, and then we go with Him also to gather into the field, into the fold that He has called us unto. Again, in Hebrews chapter 10, I read from here, in Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, it says, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. As ye see the day approaching. Gathering with Christ is God's command and desire for us, as His coming also draws nigh. Like I mentioned first, we are to be gathered before the Lord. We are to be gathered under His feet to hear Him, to receive of Him. And then He commissions us to also go and gather unto Him. And as we gather, not forsaking ourselves, it is to strengthen and to develop our own spiritual life. And then also to win others unto the Lord. And we assemble for the purpose of Christian fellowship, just as we are gathered here tonight. It is to fellowship one with another. It is to worship and to receive instruction from the Lord. It is to remember the Lord's death, and then also to be commissioned for the task that He has given unto us. And for our gathering to be beneficial in this life and in eternity, we must possess the fundamental experience, the fortitude, the foremost experience, and then also We are fervently engaged in his work, and then we have a future expectation of Christ's return. These will be the building blocks. Anytime we are to gather with Christ, anytime we are to go out and then bring in souls unto the Lord. And Matthew Henry tells us that the communion of saints is a great help and privilege, and a good means of steadiness and perseverance. Hereby, their hearts and hands are mutually strengthened. Our hearts are strengthened in the Lord, and our hands are strengthened also to bring in souls unto the Lord. Let's look very briefly at one, the fundamental, the foremost, the foundation, the foundational experience before gathering for Christ. Before we gather for the Lord, there must be some experiences that we, as a people who are going to gather with Him, we should have. Before we are enlisted to go and bring in, we ourselves must be enlisted. And that is why we are looking at fundamental experience, foundational experience, foremost experience before gathering for Christ. I read in Psalm 50, verse 5, where it said, "Gather my saints together unto me, they that have made covenant with me by sacrifice." Those that have made covenant with me by sacrifice. You know, our gathering with Christ begins with conversion. And that is why he called out unto the saints. He called out that, "Gather my saints together unto me." In Isaiah chapter 33, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 33, I read verse 14. In Isaiah chapter 33, verse 14, it says, "The sinners in Zion are afraid." The sinners in Zion are afraid. We cannot go and gather for Christ. We cannot be gathered unto the Lord if a sinner dwells in Zion. No, that sinner will be afraid. Why? Because his conscience will condemn him. Why? Because he will feel the weight of sin in the fellowship. That is why the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with a devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil." Our gathering with Christ begins, like I said, with our conversion unto the Lord. We cannot give what we do not have. If we are going to give life everlasting, if we are going to give the gospel unto the unrich, we ourselves should have partakers, been, we have profited from the gospel in which we are sending out. And that is why the sinner in Zion is afraid. The soul winner that is sinning will be afraid, because what if on the field the trumpet of the Lord sound? That individual may be afraid. But in verse 22, the Bible says, "For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he save us." Hallelujah. The Lord is calling you and I. He wants to enlist us tonight. But before that, there must be that fundamental experience. There must be that foundational experience, because we don't want to go as a medical doctor. You don't want to go into the ward. You don't want to go into the theater without having the requisite experience, the requisite tools to perform the surgery in which you are going to perform. And that is why the Lord wants to gather us this evening first, to commission us, to work in us, so that as we go out, we go in the strength and in the power of the Lord. When we gather, what we gather for? We gather for exhortation and for prayer. As you have come here tonight, we are going to be exalted. After the exaltation, we are going to spend time to pray because we need the strength and the grace of God to go out and then be beneficiaries and then be able to tell of the love that we have received from the Lord. We gather for exaltation and for prayer. We gather for edification and for growth. As a church, as we have come to the house of the Lord wants to edify us. I read from Deuteronomy chapter 31. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 12, the Bible says here that gather the people together, men and women and children, and thy stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. We gather for the Lord to edify us. We gather, we hear the word, we learn, we fear the Lord, and then we hear his precepts, and then as we hear the word, we grow. As we meditate on the word, we grow. As we depend on the word, we grow. And that is what the Berean believers did in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Acts chapter 17, the verse numbered 11. It says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. That was the basis of their growth. That was the fundamental principle that led them into growing into the Lord. As we gather, we are enlightened. We gather for enlightenment and then for sanctification. Because the Lord wants to prepare our heart. He wants to search our heart. He wants to sanctify our heart so that we will stand with all the boldness, with all the zeal, with all the commitment to go out into the world, to go and preach the word unto the dying world. In Joel chapter 2, in Joel chapter 2, I read verse 16. Gather the people, like we are gathered here. Sanctify the congregation. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Gather the people. Sanctify them. Before then, the Lord has said, blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, and call for a solemn assembly. As we come, the Lord enlightens us because he wants to present us as a chaste bride, as a faultless church, so that as we go out onto the field, we are going with all oneness, with all togetherness, and with all diligence in his work. We gather for endowment and power. We gather for endowment and power. We have read and we know what happened in the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, I read from verse 1. All of these are experiences we need if we are going to be gathering for the Lord. We need these experiences. We cannot just throw ourselves out into the field. The Lord wants to prepare us so as to take us to where he himself wants us to be. In Acts chapter 2, I read from verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Like we are gathered here tonight. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, the endowment. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then they went out into the field. And then they went out, Peter preaching, and 3,000 souls coming unto the Lord. He preaching, the disciples preaching, 5,000 souls coming unto the Lord, multitudes being gathered unto the Lord. That was also because they've had the experience of Pentecost before this time. This evening, the Lord wants to gather us. He wants us to go and also gather with Him. But have you experienced these fundamental and foundational tools that we need in order to be effective on the field of evangelism? We gather for fellowship. You know, as we come together, one another, we see where one is faltering, and then we join hands together, and then we are edified, we empathize with one another, and then we stand in fellowship one with another. You know, Martin Luther tells us that to gather with God's people in united adoration of the Father is as necessary to the Christian life prayer, to the Christian life as prayer. Gathering is so important because this is where the Lord will prepare us for the ministry that He wants us to go and embark on. And so, before we gather for Christ, we must have these fundamental, foundational, foremost experience. After we have had these experiences, what do we have to do? The Lord wants us to be fervently engaged in gathering with Christ. Fervent engagement in gathering with Christ. I read from Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, the verse number 30. In Matthew chapter 12, I read from verse 30. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. You may want to ask yourself, are you gathering with Christ, or you are scattering the sheep away from Christ? Are you with Him on the mission field of gathering, or you are scattering the sheep that are coming in? He that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. Our fervent engagement. How are you engaged in gathering Christ and soul winning? You know, last year we started going out for outreaches, breaking new ground. Why don't you ask yourself, how many of these cities did you partake in? How many of them were you there? How many of these cities were you actively or fervently engaged in gathering with Christ? The whole of last year, the previous year also gone, last year came and went. And here we are, another year the Lord has presented. Already we have done 1 month already. We have gone out already to preach the gospel. Were you there in person? Are you fervently engaged in gathering with Christ? In John chapter 15, John chapter 15, the Lord is asking us to assess our lives because He wants us to gather with Him. He has already gathered us and given us the experiences to be able to gather for Him. Now He wants us to gather with Him. In John chapter 15, verse 16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. He may give it you engagement in gathering with Christ. I read from Luke chapter 14. In Luke chapter 14, let me read verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent a servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. That is that simple message the Lord is giving us to go into our streets, to go into cities, to go into towns and villages, to go and tell them that come unto the Lord, for all things are now ready. Come unto the Lord. He has paid for our salvation. He has paid for your redemption. He has paid for your deliverance. Come, for all things are now ready. Verse 18. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. You know, the excuses that people give. Do I want to take this tract? Well, I can't take that. Well, I believe in God, but I'm not interested in this. These are the excuses people give when we tell them, come into the kingdom. Must this put us off? So that you say, well, they are not even going to accept it. People are not going to open up unto me. Why should I be engaged in gathering with Christ? Why should I mean, this, look at the excuses that they are giving. I have to go and see the piece of land that I bought. I have to go and prove my oxen. Have me excused. I cannot take the trap. But we see the dying soul. Must this be thing that should put us off? Verse 19. Sorry, verse 20. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly. Maybe you have given up because people have said Akatos to you in times past. Maybe you have given up on the evangelism trail because people have not been laughing and smiling when you give them trust. Maybe people rejected the trust. Maybe they even called the police on you. Maybe they came and took your gadget and all of that. And so you have given up. You have come to show the master, Lord, you know, I would have been engaged, but look at these excuses. I would have been more proactive, but look at these excuses. The Lord is saying, go out quickly into the street. Yes, they may give excuses, but the work is not done. They may give excuses, but they still need to hear the word. They may give excuses, but we need to tell them that Christ came to die for them. Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Though millions have come, there is still room. Maybe you have come past your city many, many, many times. You and I will agree that there's still room for many to come in. Maybe you have gone out and distributed thousands of tracts. Yes, you and I will agree that there are still many tracts to be shared. There's still room. And the Lord said unto the servant, verse 23, go out into the highways. You know, the Lord does not just settle on it is done. Lord, we have done this part. We have done the 31 out of 100 cities. Well, we have done well. Maybe in the scheme of man's judgment, we have done well. But the Lord is saying, go out into the highways, go out into the hedges, and compel them to come in. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. The Lord compels the church, and by the church, you and I, to go out into the world and gather with Him. How do we gather with Him? We gather with Him in soul winning. out there on the evangelism field, many souls are there. Souls that have gone into all sort of sins, into all sort of behaviors. The Lord is compelling us to go and tell them of the love of Christ. The Lord wants us to gather with Him in city evangelism. Last month, we were in our individual cities, reaching out with their tracts, reaching out with the gospel, telling others to come in. If you look at the diagram I have on the right, that little one, these are the cities we have visited in Finland. Our pastor tells us, out of 10,000 plus cities, I mean 10,000 cities that have 10,000 population and over, there are about 100, and we've been able to go to 31 of them. City evangelism. Out of these 31, you want to ask yourself, how many of them were you present? Out of these 31, how many of them were you there in person? On the flip side, this is just 31. There are many, many, many more that we haven't been there. The Lord wants us to go to all these cities to reach them for the Lord, to gather them unto the Lord, and to gather with Christ, because He wants all souls to be saved. He wants every soul to come to the knowledge of the Savior. Many a times we have given all sort of excuses, but the Lord is compelling us, go out quickly, go out into the high street. He compels us to go and bring them. It doesn't matter your excuse. The Lord is compelling us to go out there. Maybe you are not there on the city evangelism. How about tract distribution? There are tracts, several tracts that are there. We have them in our shelves. We have them in our vehicles. We have them in our cars. We have them in our Bible. How many of them are we giving out? The Lord wants to gather with Him on the tract distribution field. Let us go and give them. Who knows which tract an individual would read and get converted unto the Lord? As we see these souls roaming in the street, as we go out there, we see them here and there. We must stretch out, lend a helping hand, lend a hand of tract unto an individual. And then also, we gather with Christ in friendship evangelism. You know, we have friends at school, friends at work, friends on some societies. You may be part of some organizations or some associations. There are friends all over. We may want to get in touch with one or two with the sole aim of reaching that individual unto the Lord. And above all of this, we must deliberately pray for the salvation of souls. It is good that we visit all the cities here in Finland. It is good that we tell it out unto the people in our locality or in our city, but we must constantly pray for their salvation. We must constantly pray that the Lord will have mercy on them. We must intercede that as we go out, it shouldn't just be that, well, we have gone so as to fulfill all righteousness, so as to tick the box. Last month I was there, this month I am there, and that other month I was also there, just to tick the boxes. No, but our desire and the desire of Christ is that all souls will come to the knowledge of the Savior. And that is why prayer is key. Prayer is important. Prayer is necessary if we are going to gather with Christ. Ed Stetzer tells us that many Christians love evangelism. In fact, many of us, we do. When is the next evangelism? Oh, it's here. It's there. Many Christians love evangelism, you know, as long as someone else is doing it. As long as someone else is on the field. As long as, oh, let's pray for them. They are going. Well, we pray because we love it. Oh, let's contribute to support that work. We love to do that because others are on the field and we are stuck to our chairs at home. We are stuck to our computers at home. We are stuck to our own activities at home. Many love evangelism as long as someone else is doing it. How is it with you, my dear brother? How is it with you, my dear sister? Do you love it because others are doing it? Or you love it because you feel the compelling call of Christ on your head? Or you feel the burden of Christ on your head? Or you feel the suffering of Christ on your head, that he died to save me. I must also see to the salvation and to the deliverance of another. We are not supposed to love it because others are doing it. We must love it because the Lord tells us to do so. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, we must also give and lay down our lives for the salvation of the brethren. We have seen the fundamental experiences, the foundational experiences, the tools that we need to be effective and to be successful on the evangelism outreach. Now, the Lord has called us onto fervent engagement in gathering with him. He doesn't want us to sit on the fence. This year, by the grace of God, we'll be launching up once and again. We have already done one. Next week, God willing, we are out there on the field. The Lord wants us to be fervently engaged. The Lord wants us to be fervently committed to the cause of Christ, to this all-important business that a Christian can do, reaching out to souls, telling of the soon return of Christ. And then, as we are fervently engaged, we are also looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Finally, we are looking at future expectation of our gathering unto Christ. You know, first we're gathered before Christ, we are gathering with Christ, and now the Lord, we have the hope, we have that future hope that we will be gathered unto Christ. In John chapter 14, in John chapter 14, as the souls that we win, all of us together, the Lord will gather us unto himself. In John chapter 14, I read from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself and gather you unto myself. And bring you together unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. Where I am, there ye may be also. This is our hope. This is our expectation, that as you go and tell of the love of Christ, as we go and bring souls unto Christ and with him, he will gather us unto himself on the last day. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I read verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that he be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit or by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. The day of Christ is at hand. We are not supposed to go and gather people with Christ, for we ourselves to be thrust out on the day of the Lord. We are not to bring in souls, leading souls unto the Lord, while we ourselves are unprepared and ready for us to be thrust out at the gathering together of saints unto the Lord. What confidence do we have? What is the assurance? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I read verse 14. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. You know, Christ has gone to prepare a place for his saints. He has gone to prepare a place for us. He has gone to prepare a place for those whom we are going to gather with him in heaven. And he will return to take us unto himself. What is our hope? Our hope is to perpetually be with him for all eternity. Knowing that Christ is coming to take us and to gather us unto himself, what should be our preparation? In 1 John chapter 3. In 1 John chapter 3, I read from verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and every man out there on the evangelism field, on every man who is desiring to join this year's breaking new grounds, and every man who is looking forward to the coming of the Lord, and every man, every soul winner, every evangelist, every one of us, and every man that has this hope in him, he purifieth himself even as he is pure. There is earnest, urgent, and diligent preparation that we ought to make. We must prepare ourselves for his coming. We must make sure that we have come unto the Lord to receive him and to have been made takers of his divine nature. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know, this evening, you may want to ask yourself, have you had, do you possess that foundational and fundamental experience before gathering with Christ, so that you are not just thronging on to the mission field? Are you fervently engaged? Do you feel the weight of Christ's suffering on your heart, in your life? That the souls that are languishing on our streets, on our cities, must win them for the Lord? Are you fervently engaged? This year, are you making every attempt to be part of the souls or of the people who are going out to preach the word? What are the excuses that you've already come up with? What are the things that you feel as a result you cannot be a part of the evangelism train? You want to assess all those excuses again. You want to assess those excuses in the light of Christ's word, compelling us to go and bring them. Go, and he compels us, go and bring them. And then, as we are bringing them, we are not losing fact that soon and very soon, the trumpet will sound. Us and the souls us and the converts, us and those who have come to know the Lord, we must be gathered under the feet and unto Christ in heaven. This is all that we'll have time for tonight. We want to close our eyes and go before the Lord in prayer. You know, the Lord is calling us, gathering with Him. If you are not with Him, if you are not gathering with Him, you are scattering. Are you scattering the sheep? Are you scattering those who want to hear the word? You know, today, many, many ways by which we can gather with Christ. Preaching the word has never been this easy. You know, on the internet, in a digital format, in our track distribution, sliding these tracks into the pigeonholes of people, into, I mean, just as simple as that. We struggle. Why? Maybe that fundamental experience is not there. Maybe that foundational experience is not there. But tonight, I don't want to rush it. I want to come before the Lord and say, Lord, here am I. Maybe not been a part of all those evangelism trails, but I do not have that assurance. I do not have that conviction. I am looking at myself, giving out a tract to someone, but me, myself, I am struggling. I am struggling. Tonight, the Lord can deliver. Tonight, the Lord can reassign you. He can save and reassign you. You want to come back unto the Lord and say, Lord, I have been a part of the train. I have been a part. I was in that city. I was in Vantaa. I have been in Helsinki. I've been to Oulu. I have gone to Pieksämäki. Oh, I was there at Kouvola. Oh, I was there in Hyvänniemi. Oh, I have been here. I have been to all these places. Yet within you know that there's something that is still missing. There is something that is still missing. You want to come to the Lord tonight and say, Lord, here am I. Here am I. Maybe you have been saved. You need to go an extra mile. The Lord says, gather the people, sanctify the congregation. Sanctify the congregation. Because this year we want to experience the endowment of power for effective evangelism. We want to experience the endowment of power for effective outreach. We want to experience the endowment of God's breakthrough in our life. So that as we go out, we are not just going to hit and run. We are not just going to slide the tractor and then run away. We are not just going to be timid on the evangelism field. We want the Lord to endue up with power. These are fundamental experiences you and I need. My dear brother, my dear sister, tonight we have come unto the Lord, gathering with Christ. Before we go and gather with Him, we need to arm ourselves. We need to arm each and every one of us. The children need to arm themselves. The youths must arm themselves. The adults must arm themselves. Our fathers must arm themselves. Our mothers are arming themselves. Our leaders and ministers are arming themselves. Tonight, we want to come to the Lord when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Oh, for the ministering of the word, for the preaching of the gospel, the power had to come. This year, we want the Lord to restore unto us the power. Maybe you have not been endued before. Maybe you have not been empowered and baptized before. Oh, tonight can be that night because you are telling the Lord, Lord, I want to go and gather with you. I don't want to go without the power. Without the power of the Holy Ghost, the work will be tedious. The work will be demanding. The work will be frustrating. You will soon give up. You will soon say, I cannot go ahead. Oh, you will give excuses. But when the power comes, when the Holy Ghost comes, when the Spirit of God endues us, when the Spirit of God saturates us, when the Spirit of God enlightens us, oh, we will go in the strength of the Lord.
We will go in the power of the law. We will not mind all the excuses. Oh, I have to do this. Oh, I know the place is far. Oh, it is there. I cannot come this time. I will go next week. I will go next month. The next month comes. Oh, another thing comes out. We want to tell the Lord this year. We want to make souls hear the word. Out of the 31 this year, we want to add to it. This year, we want to add to those numbers that we haven't been to. We need the power of God. You are telling the Lord, oh Lord, commission me afresh. You know, Paul heard, he heard that come over to Macedonia and help her. He was endued, he was filled. And tonight the Lord is calling for our fervent engagement. My dear brother, fervent engagement, not just any engagement. You can be engaged but still be dilly-dallying. Well, I will do this. Well, I will just be there. You are there. You are almost losing it. There's no excitement. There's no passion. There's no desire. You are just there because your pastor tells you to come along. You are just there because it is just happening in your city. You are just there because you want to take the ball, but it within there's no passion, within there's no desire, within there's no compassion for the dying soul. We want to be fervently engaged. You are telling the Lord that, oh God, this year, whatever it will take, Lord, make me a soul winner. Whatever it will take, Lord, cause me to gather with you. Whatever it will take, and the people of God go out there, you want to be a part of them. And the people of God go out there, my brother, you want to be a part of them. Oh, we can preach the gospel today in many different ways. Which of the ways are you adopting? Which of the ways have you adopted? We are making crafts. Are you part of them? Are you giving your talent? Are you giving your time? Lord, I can help with this trap, but we cannot find you. You are just there. You are hiding your talent. You want to gather with crime. This year, you must rise up. This year, you must get going. You must say, Lord, this is what I can do. This is what I must do for the work of God to progress, for the work of God to go far. This evening, we are coming unto the Lord. How about digital evangelism? You can just be in your room, in the comfort of your home, in the comfort of your house. You can preach the gospel on several social media platforms, but you have not been doing it. Why, my dear brother? Why, my dear sister? You are feeling shy. You say, I cannot do it. Well, what if someone comes with a question? What if I am someone says, are you also part of them? Oh, my dear brother, you want to wake up. You want to rise up. This year, the Lord compels us to go and bring them. The Lord compels us to go and win souls unto him. The Lord is compelling us. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out. You don't want to miss out. By the time the year is rounded up, I know by the grace of God, this number 31 would have risen. Oh, you want to be a part of them. You want to be a part of them. We must deliberately pray for them. We must deliberately pray. We are praying for the souls. We are praying for the city. We are committing the cities to the Lord. We are committing the souls to the Lord. We are not just jumping on the evangelism trail. Oh, today we are going to Imatra. Well, let's pick our bag and baggage we are on. No, we must pray for the souls there. This year, we will gather with the Lord in prayer. We will come and pray unto the Lord. We will come and seek the face of the Lord. Why won't you tell the Lord, Lord, make me a partaker. Lord, make me a partaker. Lord, make me a partaker. I have given excuses for quite too long. Lord, it is enough. Lord, it is enough. I want to feel the suffering of Christ. I want to feel the suffering and the burden of Christ on my heart. And as we are doing all of this, my dear brother, my dear sister, you have it at the back of your mind that yet a little while, and him that will come and will not tarry. The Lord will want to prepare us. As we are winning souls, we ourselves must be ready. We ourselves must be there. My dear brother, you are telling the Lord, oh Lord, keep me ready. Oh Lord, keep me prepared. Oh Lord, keep me ready for your word. In the name of Jesus, may the Lord himself strengthen us. Let not our hands be weak, oh my dear brother. Let not our hands be weaker, for our labor will be rewarded, for our work will be rewarded, for the Lord will come come true for you, the Lord will come true for me. You want to make a new solemn pledge unto the Lord. Lord, this year I'll be part. This year I will join the dream. This year I'll be part of the people who are going out to gather with Christ. And as you come gathering us unto yourself, Lord, I want to be there. By your grace, I will be there. The Lord will help you. The Lord will help me. Go on and pray and commit yourself into the hands of the Lord. Pastor, please, you can take over.
Let us continue praying. We cannot listen to a message like this and remain silent.
We have been told, even our Lord Jesus asked Peter, he said, "Lovest thou me more than this?" This is the only way we can prove to God that we actually love him, that we expect time of his coming. And remember also, he told the disciples, he said, "Occupy till I come." Why not commit yourself once again into the hands of God? We have been told of the fundamentals. We have been told of the things we need to purge ourselves from. Sometimes from personal experience, there are times you are willing, there are times you want to go, you are eager to go out to preach. But then you begin to do evaluation. Sometimes you look at the discouragement from maybe the past experiences. Okay, I've gone to this place, I've gone to that place. You begin to analyze. You are going to pray and say, "Lord, remove all that the stumbling block that the enemy has been putting on your path in the past." Remember Peter? When Jesus called the disciples, he said, "Come, and I will make you fishers of men." But Peter also went back. When Christ was no more with them, Peter went, he said, "I go a fishing." Maybe that has been your case. Sometimes, yes, there are legitimate things you are doing, and because of that, you are not able. Sometimes you sit down, you do the mathematics. It's going to take 3 hours. It's going to take 4 hours. I don't think I'll be able to make it. God understands. You are going to pray tonight because God expects us to give more. We expect to receive more from God, and therefore God expects us to give more. The fundamentals, ask the Lord to start in your heart that unquenchable desire. Jeremiah said, "Even when I said that I would not preach, I would keep my mouth quiet, the word of God is like a fire closed in my bosom. It burneth like fire within my bones until I go out." Ask the Lord to create that test in you. Ask the Lord to purge you of every excuse. Ask the Lord to purge you of every distraction the enemy has put on your path, because it is a service that is greater than any other service. Every other thing that we are doing on earth here cannot be compared to the reward that awaits those that are able to bring souls to Christ. And if that was what Jesus died for, evangelism was the heartbeat of Christ. Evangelism was the reason he came. He said, "For this purpose came I, so that he might be able to deliver those who are dying and who are hanging there." Brethren, those days, in fact, we were told when we were being trained for evangelism, that even if, of all the outreaches, at least every soul that is saved, because the Bible says there is joy in heaven over one soul. Tell the Lord to purge you. Tell the Lord to cleanse you. Tell the Lord to remove all the obstacles. Tell the Lord to remove all the hindrances. Tell the Lord to take away those excuses of the past. Sometimes you will see that many, when you go to the evangelism field, a lot of us, we have not deemed it necessary. We have not seen reason why we should make that second Saturday of the month free and be there, for the purpose of evangelism. You don't have to wait for pastor to come and push you. Why not pray and say, "God, I am ready for service"? The Bible said, when Isaiah heard the voice of the Lord, "Whom shall I send?" The Lord is asking the same question today. But Isaiah replied and said, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Are you telling the Lord to send you? Are you telling the Lord to send you to those cities where we have not gone to on Saturday here, coming next week Saturday, not tomorrow? We are going to Imatra. And then we are going also to the second location. The question is, are you ready to go as the Lord has commanded? We are reaching out to Nokia and Imatra. You are going to begin from that place. Tell the Lord, I am ready. Ask the Lord, I am ready. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord and tell the Lord, we will go. Wherever the Lord have sent you, remember the song we sang. I will go, I will go. I will go and tell them Jesus is the Lord. The cold is not an excuse. Our Lord Jesus, remember, he paid it all. He left his throne. He left all the comfort in heaven. He left everything that he had. The Bible made it clear. He left all that he might deliver you and I. He left all to die for the souls of these people we are talking about. There is nothing we can render to him that will make him happier than going out in search of these souls. Tell the Lord to create in you, as you know, Jesus, when he called the disciples, he said, come and I will make you. Before I send you out, I will make you fishers of men. All that is in you, that is in the past, has been standing as excuse, has been standing in the past as reason. Sometimes, you know, we are so preoccupied and then we feel comfortable in it. From January to December, you do not create time to join the team. You do not create time. You do not see it. Sometimes you also begin to analyze the financial commitment, how you are going to spend the whole day, the fuel you are going to buy, the tea fare you are going to pay. Remember what David said. That's a man after God's own heart. I will never render unto God that which costs me nothing. It's going to cost you something. Why not open your mouth and say, Lord, give me that heart of service, that heart that Jesus had. He said, my meat, my food, my preoccupation is to go out, to win those souls that are still out there. We have been told in the message this evening that we need that exhortation to prayer. Pray, pray, pray. Tell the Lord and ask the Lord to edify you. Ask the Lord to give you grace, edification that you need to be able to brace up and rise up to the challenge. We have been to so many cities, sometimes it appears that, you know, even after you go, the report may not be as encouraging as you want. They receive the track, we have not heard from them. They receive the track, nothing happened. I remember when we had the last outreach to Kopio, something struck me. You know, we've been trying to do something on our own, but after that outreach, even though some of those people left, but it's an indicator that what we are doing is not in vain. The Sunday following, there were 3, 4, 5 people that came. I mean, even the Finns who came to church, they were there very early. They were enthusiastic. They wanted to know more because they received track during the outreach. And that tells you what happens when we go out like this. We are going to tell the Lord, I am not going to miss out. Give me all that I need, oh God. Help me, oh God. Help me, oh God, that I will gather with you. Because you don't want to be among those who are scattering. Failing to go out like we have been told during the message, if you are not gathering with Christ, it means you are scattering. Why not tell the Lord to enlarge you, give you the grace, give you the power. Everything in the past that have been an excuse, ask the Lord to help you. Maybe on your part, you do not have enough empathy. You know, sometimes you have not sat down to think about the fact that if the rapture should happen, if the trumpets should sound, that these people we are talking about are going to face the wrath of God. They are going to face the punishment that God has already prescribed for sinners. Therefore, pray and say, Lord, create in me that empathy and endue me with power. Power to determine. Power to make up my mind that I'm going to go. I will go and tell them Jesus is the Lord. The expectation of a soul winner is that the souls that he's preaching to, she is preaching to, will repent and come to Christ. And Christ has gone to prepare a place for you and for me. Brethren, I'm not sure. The Bible said, he that knoweth what is good to do and fail to do it to him, it is a sin. I hope that the Lord will not hold you accountable for failing to go and warn them. And also remember that the Bible said that he has made you a watchman, that you will hear the warning from his mouth and give them warning. But if you fail to warn the sinner, if you fail to do your part, he said, their blood shall be required from your hand. No one's blood will be required from my hand. Open your mouth and say, Lord, you don't want the blood of the sinners in those cities to be required from your hand. Ask the Lord to give you the grace. Ask the Lord to give you the power. You know, look at the disciples. In those days, they were beaten and flogged. This these days were not even being beaten. When they were beaten and flogged for preaching the gospel, they rather rejoiced. They were happy that they were counted worthy to suffer for Christ. They were counted worthy to suffer because of their faith and because of the proclamation of the gospel. Why not pray, Lord, count me in that bracket? The songwriter, as we all have been singing, when you count up those who love the Lord, count me, can the Lord count on you? Can the Lord count on you? Why not tell the Lord, count me? Those who will do the right, Lord, count me. Those who will go out, those who are saved by grace that will go out to save others, count me. Tell the Lord to count you. Tell the Lord to count you. Give you the grace and count you. In this particular coming evangelism, we have been divided into, tell the Lord you are going to be there. And not just for this, but that, you know, in subsequent evangelism, you are going to be there. Open your mouth and begin to, sometimes when I look at the children, the way when they ask the question, when is the next evangelism? And you see the excitement in their face. I wish that we can have such excitement as the Lord to make you that individual that will not rest unless you join the team. That individual that will not be at home, you know, doing other things when other people are in the field trying to rescue the souls that are perishing. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you that you will be able to plead for those who are dying in sin. Christ has gone to prepare a place, and you know it will be in vain if Christ had gone to prepare the place and you that is a servant that is supposed to be, he said, occupy till I come. You that he has committed the rest of the assignment, you fail to do it. Our hope is to, you know, make sure that when Christ comes back to take his people home, we have been able to win souls. Open your mouth and say, Lord, I am ready. Open your mouth and say, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, and make me an instrument. Use me, Lord, I am ready. Use me, Lord, I am ready. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father in heaven, we thank and bless you because of the once again, the opportunity we have to gather together at your feet, and the fact that you have reminded us of the purpose, the reason you have saved us, because you have saved us so that we can serve others, so that we can also be used as instrument to reach out unto others. This evening, we have once again had the rudiment. We have once again seen the thing that we need to do. Oh Lord, we ask for every one of us who have had your word this evening, we pray that you create in us that desire. You create in us that inner desire and that inner, I mean, enthusiasm to go out and reach out to the unreached in Jesus' name. And for the cities, oh God, that lies ahead of us, I pray none of us here, having had the word today, will draw back. But Lord, every obstacle the devil in the past have put on our way, because there is no reason that is sufficient to God to hinder us from going out and doing that which we have committed into our hand. Lord, therefore, we pray as you gave the 72 power, as you gave the 72 the push, as you gave the 72 the authority, because you told them, you said, you give them authority to trample upon scorpion and to go and come back with testimonies. Lord, I pray so shall be our case in Jesus' name. As we have had tonight, oh Lord, I pray, even for the forthcoming evangelism, I pray that there will be a sign of this message, that there will be, oh Lord, the evidence that this evening we did not hear your word in vain, but Father, you will motivate all of us to arise and do it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you have answered. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. For our pastor whom you have used, Lord, we pray that whatever virtue has gone out of him, you will replenish it. Thank you, Jesus, for you have answered. For in Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Brethren, we thank God for this evening.